Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Katie's Crib. Except today, it's a super special episode because we are not in my crib, you guys. We are actually in a Supes Fancy recording booth with a bunch of friends, and we're going to be talking about C-sections today. And you guys, we're literally like in a recording studio that has like head cans on. These are called cans, right? Yep. Yeah. Cans. You see how professional I am, guys? So today, in this episode, we wanted to do a roundtable discussion, which is new for us. It's we have three guests here today, and in this episode, we're talking about C-sections, which is a very big, emotional, scary topic with a lot of different perspectives on it, and I bet you guys out there have a lot of questions. I know I definitely do. So, like I said, we're going to do this in a roundtable discussion sort of way, and we have three guests. First, we have Dr. Lainey Kumetz. Yeah. Hello. Dr. Lainey Kumetz, you guys, is my OB. She has been for like a decade or more. I don't even know. And it's really nice to see you up above my bottom half of my body, doctor.
It's lovely to see you too.
She delivered Albie. Next, we have my dear, dear friend, Anjali Cabral.
Yay.
Yay. She currently stars as Colleen on CBS's Life in Pieces. And Angelique has personal experience with C-sections. We'll be getting to her. And last and definitely not least is my dear, dear friend, Emily Roif.
Hi.
And she is amazing and a wonderful stay-at-home mom with the cutest daughter ever. Actually, we need to get a play date together with Adelaide, Tuesday, and Albie.
Those names.
I mean, you guys like them? I like them. Okay, so we're going to jump into this because, like I said, it's a very big topic. First things first, let's go over to Dr. Kumetz. And can you explain, like, what is a C-section? How is it done? And walk us through it briefly?
Sure. So a C-section is a surgical way of delivering a baby. Mm-hmm. It's performed in an operating room by an OBGYN, a surgeon. Mm-hmm. And the most common way is a cut in the lower part of the abdomen, just above the pubic bone, separating the layers to get down to the uterus, making a cut in the uterus and delivering the baby through mommy's tummy.
Wow, guys.
Oh, I can't believe I did that.
Like, it's like that, an episode of Grey's Anatomy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Angelique,
yeah.
Let's go to you and let's talk about your experience with having a C-section. Was this a decision you made? How far in advance did you know?
This was a decision that I did not have a choice in. I had placenta previa, and we found out about 28 weeks or 25 weeks. I can't remember now, but it was far enough along that we tried about a month to move my placenta. It basically means that the placenta is attached at the cervix or near the cervix so that the baby's head cannot come out during labor. And if you try to labor, the placenta basically comes out first and will bleed and like you die. Like,
so
back
in the olden
days, you would die. Like, my doctor was like, you would be dead. And like, that's what happened a lot. Like, they didn't know the placenta was attached. You would try to labor and then the placenta's out first and you bleed out. So
oh,
it's a very, from what I understand, it's a very like serious thing. And I did not have like a super bad case of it, but it was enough of an issue that they were like, no, like across the board, I went to four different doctors and they were all like, no, because I really wanted to labor. I'm like the opposite of you. I wanted to like be in my element and like be a woman. And I am a woman
100. And a great mom.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. But I was devastated.
And just to say, we have another person in common, this chiropractor named Dr. Berlin, who works on pregnant women. And I remember him saying something to you, Angelique, during your process of changing your mental, the way you phrased to yourself that you were delivering your baby in this way.
Yeah, he really helped me with that. He said, you need to stop thinking of it as a problem and think of it as a beautiful, basically you talk to the baby and say, I'm going to be delivering you through my tummy.
Yeah.
Like I'm birthing you, but instead of through my vagina, I'm birthing you through my tummy. And to come at it, it made me weep at the time because I was so emotional and so vulnerable. And I was trying so hard to move my placenta, which is an impossibility.
No, it's not something we have control over.
No.
Placenta previa is very dangerous, both for mommies and for babies.
For babies.
Oh,
and when
really?
Once I heard that, I was like, okay, then it doesn't matter.
So do you find the same thing, Dr. Kumetz, that if you've had patients that have placenta previa and they may have a sort of really emotional reaction to it, do you find using the same sort of language is what helps them get to an excited point that they're going to meet their baby.
Everybody's a little bit different when they're told that they're going to need a C-section for medical reasons. And that can happen well in advance of pregnancy. It can happen in the early parts of pregnancy. You may not find out until you're in labor that you actually need to have a C-section. Placenta previa is something that is often diagnosed well in advance, and so there's more time to process. And everybody's experience with processing that information is different. And I really think it does take a little bit of soul searching. It is a disappointment. There's often some grieving involved. But getting to the point where you're understanding that, you know, kids really don't care about your plans. Uterus and babies, they just don't read the birth plan. And this was the first of, I'm sure, what's going to be many, many, many times. This kid just does not do what you want this baby to do.
Well, and it actually ended up being quite a blessing with my, I was shooting a TV show, and it was a blessing to know the exact time and day because they could write up for me until that very moment. And then my OB, Dr. Susan Morrison, said, well, this is Adelaide taking care of you. And I was like, oh yeah, like for the first, like she's actually
Angelique's a crier, people. She's a big crier, which is one of the things, many of the things I love about her.
So that
were
made
you
me feel
anxious
that was sweet.
About having like a major surgery, or did you feel completely like,
well, we'll get to that, but I've never had surgery. I've never been in a hospital. So I was like, I got this. This is so easy. And the fucking C-section and the recovery was a nightmare. Like it was the worst thing that's ever, like I've never felt pain like that. I did not know how serious, when you're talking about like how they cut through your tummy and then they cut through your uterus. I didn't, I literally thought I'd be fine. Like, cause I'm hardcore and I like work out so hard and I like meditate really hard. Like nothing helps this.
You mean the Kundalini prayers you had playing while Adelaide was taken out of you mantras did not help her healing process.
C-sections are common and we don't really think about it, but it's major abdominal surgery, and it's not just major abdominal surgery, it's major abdominal surgery and then taking care of a newborn
and trying to breastfeed
and breastfeeding and the emotions that are going through with that and
hormonal drop offs
and
oh my gosh,
and all
like
that.
I was taking a shower this morning and I still have that, like I'm not a skinny person anyway, and I was looking down, I'm like, I still have like that weird line where it like goes in and like my vagina's still swollen 6 months later. It's like pretty gnarly.
I know. I get it. I get it, you guys. This
we'll get
yes,
to that.
We'll get to that. So, Emily, my dear, please explain that you electively chose to have a C-section and what brought you to that decision. And it, and were you afraid? Was it an easy choice for you? All of these
things.
I
never went, when I found out I was pregnant, I never thought I would have a vaginal birth. I just, for some reason, I had a friend that had a pretty traumatic delivery, and she was laboring for 2 days, and then she had a C-section, and then was operating from like a place of just complete like ruin. And exhausted, and it just always stuck out in my head. And I'm a very anxious person. You said that you were really scared of vaginal birth too. And I just wanted to be able to know like what was going to happen, how it was going to happen, and be able to prepare myself for probably the last time I could ever control something in my life. And so it, you know, my husband was super supportive. My OB didn't question it, and it,
so you can, so when you went into your OB like very early on and you just said, I'm having a C-section and that's that, and did she have any sort of,
we talked about it for a second, but she was just like, if that's your decision and you know that's what your family's choices, then let's do it.
So, wow.
Yeah.
It's very impressive. So Dr. Kumetz, what are some of the things an expecting mom should do to prepare for a C-section in the days leading up to the procedure if they know that they're going to have that? I know sometimes there are very last minute calls that are made. But is there anything you do to prepare yourself? Like,
well, you know, there's going to be the emotional preparation. I think it's really important to talk with your doctor about what is going to happen. Really spend the time so that you understand the process from beginning of what time you're supposed to arrive at the hospital, what's the last time you should have anything to eat or drink so that you have an empty stomach for the surgery.
Angelique was flipping about that.
That's why I had it first thing in the morning, because I do not do well without food.
Ideally, if you know you're having a C-section, if you can get it scheduled first thing in the morning, that is the best case scenario. Not that you're really going to get any sleep the night before because of the nerves, but it's still a little easier. Knowing what is going to happen, having a plan, you know, having your doctor talk you through what the recovery is going to be like, how long you should anticipate staying in the hospital, talk to you about
breastfeeding. Is it normally like 3 nights in the hospital for a C-section?
Most insurance plans will cover 3 to 4 nights. Great. And that's pretty average for when how long people stay.
Guys, personal tip. Take those days because you get free you got babysitters all up in that hospital. You know what I mean? And then you get home and you're like, oh.
I loved it. I stayed the 4 nights.
Depending on the hospital, the food can be not bad.
So, Emily, in cases of when a C-section is elective, like it was in yours, are there key questions that women should ask their doctors before making the decision to have a C-section? Did you have questions for your doctor?
No, I mean, we went through everything. I think it's understanding the recovery period, understanding what you're going to be experiencing, you know, obviously being medicated during the birth, being awake while someone's operating on you.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's intense. It really is. But
Oh my gosh, you guys.
It's not as much questions to ask. It's just getting you mentally prepared ready, for like battle.
You know? Did you guys feel, can either of you guys speak on while being awake, having your stomach and uterus cut open?
A lot of pressure and a lot of pulling.
Pushing. Yeah. I felt tugging. And then I had a situation where I had a, when they were sewing me back up, I had fibroids, which I know they're little.
That's a cyst.
They're like
right?
little cysts. They're benign. I've had them literally since I was 18.
They're masses but on they're the masses uterus on, that are benign.
Okay. Yeah,
thank you, Dr. Kumets.
Thank you for that. Thank you those so words. Much. That's right. A real thing.
And they're very common.
They're very common. But one of them was like in the way of the needle or something. So they had to burn it off. So it took about a half hour longer or 20 minutes longer to sew me up. And I was like, what's happening? And you're so drugged.
What?
That I remember being like,
did you guys feel mentally drugged like as well? Like, did you feel kind of foggy or high or
fine? I felt fine when it was happening. I had a non-conventional playlist. I had a Beyonce, Kelly Clarkson.
Hell yeah, girl!
And like the whole situation was just like very much. I felt like I was in an episode of the Mindy Project. You know, like my doctor was a badass woman who was like running her operating room in a way that like I just felt like I'm bringing this girl into this world and like look at what we're doing.
Amazing.
It was just like
that.
A really good like
you feel great about it.
Yeah.
You felt great about your decision.
No.
You felt great about the experience for
and
you.
I hope I can do it again.
And how was the recovery for you?
Great. I mean, we had our house has a ton of stairs. I was walking the day of the operation.
Isn't Dr. Kumets, you're supposed to. Correct me if I'm wrong, but when you have a C-section, you have to get up and walk that day, like a lap around the hospital?
Really, any surgery, the sooner that you're up and walking, the lower your risk of getting a blood clot in your legs, the quicker your bowel function will return, the quicker you start mobilizing extra fluid that you get, so the swelling resolves more quickly.
Nice. Angelique, how was your recovery? Talking about it a little bit, but
I mean, I have stairs too that was tough. I had a lot of swelling. So I don't know, but I didn't come down from my swelling for almost 2.5 weeks. My legs were like this big. I had cankles, remember that?
Yeah.
I couldn't fit into any of my shoes. I don't know if it was because of the burn on my uterus with the fibroid or what it was, but I had a really painful, I would say 2.5 weeks, and then I had to go back to work at 3.5 weeks. And so that was not easy. That first 2 weeks at work, I was like shuffling.
Oof.
And very swollen, just very big still.
I also had a C-section.
I was hoping you were going to say, I knew.
What you ladies have been through and can talk a little bit about
the experience on
the other side of the table. Yeah. But just to comment.
Was that
quickly,
weird? You like know exactly what's happening while you're being cut up and you're like, and now here comes scalpel, FS, whatever.
It was definitely interesting being on the other side of the table. And it was two wonderful colleagues, good friends of mine that were operating on me. And I think they were, you know, whenever it's a friend or a colleague, there's a little bit more anxiety going into it. I mean, you never want anything to go wrong for anybody, but especially when it's somebody that you know and respect well.
Oof.
And they were very professional, and it was, you know, by the book and calling for the instruments and very formal. And then once my daughter was out and we knew she was fine, they almost forgot that it was me lying on the table, and they started chit-chatting, you know, how are your kids? What are you doing this weekend? When's your next vacation? And, you know, it's interesting to me because I hear patients hear about this and complain about it. And for me, I found that so reassuring.
Oh,
I knew everything was going perfectly, that it was so routine and so easy for them.
If they could joking around.
They could talk about other things. And and have everything still go just fine. So for me, it was incredibly reassuring to hear my doctors, you know, chat about their kids. Right. And
did you know in advance that you were going to have a C-section, or was it an emergency last minute thing? Or
so I suspected I was going to end up having a C-section. I also have a big fibroid. That fibroid was actually in the way of my daughter being able to come out naturally. And she was head down the whole pregnancy, and then at 37 weeks decided to flip. So she came out tushy first. Okay. And pooped all over my doctors on the
Yay,
way out. She was pissed about the eviction notice and let them know in the only way she could. And
that's hilarious.
So I presumed I was having a C-section from the very beginning. But interesting being on the other side of it.
When did you go back to work?
I actually did a C-section on a colleague of mine 2 weeks after my daughter was born.
Oh, so your recovery was...
It was not easy, but I also, you know, thank goodness I'm in a position where I have the luxury of having control over my schedule. And so I went back to work really, really minimal hours for the first month when I went back, and definitely had backup arranged in case it was harder than I was expecting, because that's certainly a possibility. But it wasn't easy. But the swelling was crazy. It was,
but not everyone has that.
Emily, you didn't have swelling?
I don't remember the swelling.
Interesting.
So you would have remembered it if you had had it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there a limit to how many C-sections a woman can have?
There really isn't, unless there was a complication during her pregnancy or her C-section that would really risk her life if she were to get pregnant again. So it's not necessarily the number of C-sections, but in that scenario, it's the number of pregnancies. For example, if somebody had a uterine rupture, that woman should never get pregnant again, because her risk of uterine rupture, which is life-threatening both to her and baby, is ridiculously high and unsafe.
Wow.
But I've done fifth C-sections on women.
Women who have five babies, I literally don't understand what's going on. Like, I mean, so power to you, but like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, that is,
it's
wow.
Impressive.
Yeah, it's really impressive. Are you familiar? I don't know much about this, but with this term gentle C-sections, what is that?
Yes.
Is that different from a traditional C-section? Is this just a new trend or fad, or is this something that's actually like something that people entertain and should entertain the idea of? Or
great question.
In your opinion.
Yes. It is definitely becoming more popular. Mm-hmm. The C-section, the surgery itself, is unchanged. For somebody that is requesting, you know, changes that would make their C-section experience a little better for them. Mm-hmm. It's not changing anything that I'm doing as a surgeon.
So it's more of like the music and the attitude,
yeah,
and if your doula maybe can come in or
exactly.
not. Or
exactly. It has a lot to do with how somebody feels about exactly the atmosphere. So it involves, you know, having the playlist that you want going on. It involves often having a clear drape so that when the doctor's actually pulling the baby out, mom
you can
watch.
See.
They
Whoa.
So they have a clear drape
clear drape
to keep the sterile
no.
field.
Yeah.
Some people want
to
watch
no to that
Emily? Part, and
yeah.
some
yeah.
people do. I don't know that I would have wanted to watch. I was surprised my husband watched. I was expecting him not to want to watch, and he was definitely curious.
It's really crazy what goes on in there, because I was also like, in my vaginal birth, I was like, I'm never looking down there ever, 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 ever. And I think I remember like in the last couple pushes, Dr. Kumetz, I think you said like, look down, here he comes. And I definitely looked down, and like, he was halfway out of my vagina hole, guys. And I saw it, and I definitely had the conversation that Adam wasn't going to watch it, and he did. So things just go crazy in there. So you choose in advance whether there's a clear drape or a not clear drape.
They can also, depending on the hospital and the staffing availability, they can try to do skin to skin right away in the operating room.
Yes. We did that. Yeah.
Emily, did you do that too?
No.
I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. The issues are the operating rooms are really cold, and babies cannot maintain their heat really well. When they get moved to the warmer, they're actually under a heater to make sure they're warm, because they come out wet, and you know they're coming out
slimy.
From a nice, warm,
slimy.
Cozy place into a cold, wet place that's mm-hmm. very bright. And so if you're going to do skin to skin, it's really important that we are able to keep the baby warm enough. Also, you know, this is major abdominal surgery, and there are lots of things that are happening during this process, and moms can feel shaky, moms can feel anxious, and if she doesn't feel like she can
hold the baby
right. safely, and again, you kind of have to keep the baby at boob level and above because we're working below there, so yeah. there's kind of a limited space, so you also need to have a nurse dedicated to helping you with skin to skin in the operating room if you're doing that. So, you know, if staff is available to have one extra nurse that's simply dedicated to helping you with the baby, that is fantastic. That's not always available.
Right. Got it.
So and for I those had you guys, that doula then.
Oh,
like
right.
Rebecca helped me with that part.
Yeah, so that was cool. So in your, so I guess both of you kind of had, I would say, gentle C-sections in that you both had playlists. You were asked if you could do a clear drape or a non-clear drape. Mm-hmm. Angelique said you did have skin to skin. For those of you guys who don't know, skin to skin basically means like when the baby comes out, instead of being like kind of whisked away and tested on right away, if everything is looking good and normal and the baby's vitals are all looking great, correct mm-hmm. me if I'm wrong,
yeah.
I just don't know what I'm talking about, the baby goes onto your naked chest and their naked body and you have like a bonding time with them, and it's called skin to skin, and it was Adam's favorite thing in the entire world.
Idea being that mom's body temperature will help keep the baby warm even in a colder environment, and also this baby is used to hearing mom's heartbeat. It's been a constant sound that they've been listening to for the previous 9 months. So very theory-wise, we can't really ask them because they don't remember and can't tell us later, but the theory being that if you put them right on your chest, that they're going to hear that familiar sound.
Got it. So, and Angelique, your gentle C-section, you also were allowed to bring in your doula.
Right, so she came in, but not during the cutting. It was like as soon as the baby was out, she was waiting, looking, and came in, and she'd been in a bunch of C-sections at Cedars, and she knew the anesthesiologist really well. So that's why.
Because did you find that having a doula during there are people who have a lot of doulas
right.
during vaginal births, or if they're going to attempt to do a vaginal birth without medical intervention or whatever it is. Did you find that having a doula in a C-section was helpful to your process? Or
I found it extremely reassuring and comforting, especially because she did know the staff, essentially. And she'd done it so many times. And even though I had heard my OB explain what was going to happen and like prepare me for all the steps, Rebecca was there with us the whole time. So she was like, come on, you sign in, we sit here, then you go and wipe off your whole body. She was rubbing my feet. It was incredibly helpful. I found it because I did not know how I was going to feel. And I was quite anxious that morning.
Oh my God, I'd be so scared.
I was really anxious.
And so, Emily, for you, did you have a doula in the room with you?
I did not.
But you had your husband in the room with you, mm-hmm. and you went with the everyone's choosing the non-clear drape. I'm guessing because it's major surgery and you don't know how you're going to react to seeing, your own stomach.
I would say if the patients that ask for the gentler approach, 50-50 will pick the clear drape. Now there are other things associated with it. You know, if your goal is to try to do skin to skin right away, they have the heart monitors that are on mom's chest more lateral so that there's, you know, room for the baby to be on mom's chest and things like that. But I'd say about 50-50 request the clear drape.
Wow. So Dr. Kumetz, what are some of the reasons for an emergency section? Like, did I say that correctly?
Emergency C-section. Yeah.
Uh-huh. What would be some of the reasons that that women have to do that, and how do you give them that information, and how does one respond? I'm assuming this sometimes happens very quickly.
Thankfully, those true quick emergencies are rare, but mm-hmm. they do happen. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody with a known previa who went into labor will probably start hemorrhaging pretty quickly, and that would be something you would want to resolve quickly for them. There are situations where the water breaks and suddenly the baby's umbilical cord comes out. And once the umbilical cord is past the cervix, it starts clamping down. So baby's no longer getting oxygen. And that is one of those true, quick, very scary, life-threatening emergency situations.
For the baby.
For baby. Mom is usually okay in that scenario. That's, you know, baby's in, you know, imminent danger. And that is you rush that mom to the operating room and you get that kid out as fast as possible.
And how fast are we talking? Like in a situation like that, how fast is that baby out of there?
The goal is to get the baby out in less than 10 minutes from when it's identified. Whoa. So from you've identified it and then the baby is out and breathing within 10 minutes.
Oh my God,
so
you guys, like
in,
that is
in
so
that
intense.
Kind of emergency Whoa. Situation, an experienced OB can go from skin to baby in 30 to 45 seconds.
Oh,
that's not. Guys, sorry, I'm just dead quiet on the phone right now. That's because I have goosebumps and my milk just came in and I'm having a heart attack.
I know,
that's not the goal. But that's possible. You know, other scenarios would be something called a placental abruption, which is during labor, the placenta suddenly separates from the wall of the uterus. And in that situation, both mom and baby are in danger. There's typically a lot of bleeding, signs of fetal distress, leading to emergency in that scenario. Often if it's a labor situation that wasn't known about in advance, emergencies typically come up either because of fetal distress or bleeding.
Right. And that wouldn't be a situation where it's so fast. That might be something where you've been laboring for a while and things just are not progressing at all and you're exhausted and the fetus's heart rate is not at a happy place. And so then you start to have conversations with, this is looking like we're going to have to birth this baby in a different way.
Exactly. You know, if mom's been pushing for 3 hours and the baby hasn't moved in the last hour,
oof,
that's the point where you start at least, you know, mentioning that this is something that may be necessary. And, you know, obviously you're thinking about all the possible ways that you can help accomplish a natural delivery, both for mom and baby. But, you know, as the doctor managing, I want to start preparing for the possible need for surgery.
Right.
But yeah, the majority of time when cesareans are done after labor has started, it's usually because labor is failing in some way or the baby is not tolerating labor for whatever reason.
Right.
Have you ever had someone, can I ask a question?
Yeah, of course.
In that situation.
It's a round table, girls, get
it. Who's like, I don't want an epidural, like give me a C-section, but no anesthesia because they're like trying to have a natural birth. Has that ever happened? Does that happen or would they not let you do that?
Well, I guess, you know, ultimately, we can't do anything to anybody without their consent. That's called assault and battery, and I really have no interest in going to jail. So, you know, with anesthesia, it's a personal preference. I can do a natural delivery with or without anesthesia. It looks really painful. I've never experienced it myself, but it looks really painful. I don't know that I'd want to do it that way. But, you know, respect whatever choices people have for their birth experience. I've never had anybody ask not to have anesthesia. Typically in that scenario, if they don't have an epidural in place already and there isn't time to place a spinal, it's typically under general anesthesia.
Ah. Oh, so if they're so if someone was, let's say, in labor for a while and they were having an epidural and now all of a sudden you need a last minute emergency C-section and it's too late to get the epidural in spinally, then you get general anesthesia.
Is that like a mass?
That's where they put you. Under general anesthesia, they put a tube down your throat and they breathe for you.
Nope.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That's like okay. So that your whole thing is numb. Like,
you are.
And you're not awake.
You're out then.
You're out.
So, yeah.
Have you done that before?
Many, many times.
Whoa. Wow, that's so insane.
It's never a great situation. And even for the anesthesiologist, because anesthesiologists hate doing general anesthesia on pregnant women. Pregnant women tend to have more fluid on board. They tend to be more swollen. It's harder to ventilate them.
And understand how much they need or don't need, I'm sure.
Yeah. And huge fluid changes that they're having to manage. And, you know, we try to avoid general anesthesia if at all possible. If I have a patient who is, you know, been pushing for 2-3 hours and it looks like we're heading towards a C-section, I will often recommend at that point that they get an epidural so
that they don't have to have general anesthesia.
We have it in case, or if mom's trying to go natural and the baby's really looking unhappy, then again, I'll suggest that they have the epidural placed so that we have it in the event that we need it and hope that we don't need it. Mm-hmm.
And when she says like baby being unhappy, for you guys to know, there's like monitors all on your stomach that are just gauging the heart rate of the baby. And so when there are major drops or it stays low for too long, that's when the baby's not happy.
I remember during my C-section that I started to feel really nauseous, like during the, like, I guess the cutting or something. And my anesthesiologist was like here, like monitoring everything. And I was like, I think I'm going to be sick. And he like did something. And I was like, I'm better. Like,
what?
It was like about a minute. I was like, so much better. It was,
Anesthesiologists are so great.
They're so good at their job.
Emily, did you feel nauseous at all?
Not during the C-section, but I just remember feeling really cold and I shook a lot.
What is this shake? Did you both shake?
Yeah.
So the shaking is really normal.
Shaking can happen even just an epidural if you're not in a C-section, right?
And after a natural delivery, it's very common for women to shake for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour after the placenta comes out. your body's going through such huge hormone shifts and fluid shifts, and you know, in addition to the adrenaline and the anxiety, and now you have this baby and everything seems to be going okay, very, very common to shake for about 45 minutes.
And it's like violent shaking. I did not have any shaking, but I was petrified of it, and I had been hearing about it, and I didn't.
I'm now remembering I didn't have shaking. I was just cold. But I didn't have shaking because I asked Rebecca and she said no.
Oh.
I vomited after. I was really nauseous after too. Yeah.
I had the shaking, but yeah. It started for me really when I got to the recovery room, and I actually had difficulty holding my daughter for a few minutes because I was shaking.
You're like, am I allowed to do this?
Yeah. No,
is this safe?
It's impressive.
Because you were shaking so hard too, and also holding Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guys tell me all about your partner's role during the C-section? Like, were they above the cloth? Like, did they look? Were they scared about surgery?
Michael was above the cloth. Mm-hmm. He did not look. We decided that we weren't looking. And he was just there to be supportive. That's your role.
Did he seem anxious as well about watching his wife?
Really,
I mean, because
really
most of the time you're not going to watch your significant other go through major surgery.
Right. No, he was calm. And I mean, we trusted the doctors. We trusted everybody in the operating room. And we just were going for it.
Great. And then is the significant other hold the baby also after the baby comes out? Like, how does that work?
Often after a C-section, when the baby first gets delivered, they're taken over to the warmer. And want to make sure that they're warm. They want to make sure they're breathing okay. Because babies that are delivered via cesarean don't get the same squeeze that babies get coming through a birth canal. So they can often have a little bit of extra fluid within their lungs. It takes them a little bit longer to transition to breathing air rather than breathing through their umbilical cord. So we want to make sure that the baby's transitioning well and they're pinking up and they're breathing okay and that they look happy and healthy. And that process can take, you know, anywhere from 2 minutes to a lot longer than that if they're not doing okay. Mm-hmm. But assuming that you're in that typical 2 minute and they're doing okay, they'll typically at that point wrap the baby up and give the baby to dad to hold to bring over to mom. If you want to try to do skin to skin or, you know, some cuddle time at that point, that's the appropriate time to do it.
Is that what you did, Emily?
Yeah, we did.
So Michael took the baby from the warmer and then handed her to you. Yeah. And what did you do?
Jason was up by me the whole time. He was really nervous. My husband,
I bet,
not great in the hospital.
He's so clean.
He's
it's
so
amazing.
Clean and so sweet, but he didn't really talk, but he was looking at me in the eyes the whole time. And then we had our big camera, and as soon as the baby was about to come out, he did look over, and I was shocked. And he looked over and he got all these amazing pictures of her coming out of me, which was I'm so glad now that he was brave enough to do that. And then he just started weeping, and he went to the warmer, and she was only in there for 2 seconds, very short, because she was
happy
big
and
very pink
well.
Already and crying.
That's the best.
And they didn't wrap her. She just came. He brought her to me naked.
Oh, that's great.
But then there was a blanket placed over us both. But I was that okay? I mean, yes. I guess it was fine. But she was
she's
warm
okay.
Up. Yeah,
that was great.
They were, because Rebecca knew that I really wanted that. So
Rebecca is her doula,
my doula,
who we've also had on this.
Oh, interesting
podcast.
But I do remember this
Katie's
strange
crib.
Feeling of looking over, what's happening? Where's my baby? Because there's this 2 or 3 minute gap of them coming up, they take her, and before she's on me.
Sure.
So there was it's a weird feeling to not know what's going on because you can't move. I couldn't move my arms. I just remember being
Did all three of you stay in the hospital the 3 or 4 nights? I know you said, Angelique, you did. Emily,
I did 3 days.
You did three days,
nights, yeah.
And you did
I
as
did
well.
Three. Yeah.
And we've talked a lot about your.
But one thing I do want to say that I was told that did not happen is I was told that they put your arms out and I don't know. That didn't happen. I had my arms free. Sometimes I think in some situations they strap your arms out. And Rebecca had actually said that usually it's like that, but that was not the case. Did that happen with you?
I don't remember.
I know. It's weird. There's this weird thing, guys, of not
remembering.
Remembering
I don't
a
remember.
Lot of specifics. I think it's your brain's tricking way
I know.
To, for you to make more children.
So that's probably hospital specific and becoming less common, especially when you have an awake patient.
Okay.
When you're doing surgery on somebody who is completely out, you want to make sure that their arms aren't falling or getting pressed in a way that's, you know, potentially going to injure a nerve or cause a bruise. So we typically will strap people's arms down when they're having surgery and they're asleep. But if you're awake and having a C-section and talking to us, generally we don't. So
again,
at least the hospitals I've worked at typically don't. That may be different in other places, but less common.
Angelique, you said we talked about your recovery, which seemed very bloated.
Bloated, very bloated.
Emily, you seem to have a great recovery time and period. And what about you, Dr. Kumetz? How was yours? You were up and working too.
I was. I was pretty swollen. You know, something that we have to remember is a woman's body actually increases her blood volume by about 30% over the course of pregnancy. And that's really in preparation for the expected bleeding that you're going to have afterwards, whether it's a natural delivery or a C-section. You're expected to lose some blood at that point, and you do have some bleeding afterwards. And the body is amazing in that it prepares for that. But you do take on a lot of extra fluid in that situation. And if you're having a C-section, you do get extra fluid to make sure that we're maintaining your blood pressure okay. And, you know, that could be on the order of 2 to 3 liters through the IV over the course of that hour surgery or so. And, you know, if you were somebody that had been in labor for 24 hours plus, you know, prior to ending up with a C-section, you've gotten a whole lot of fluid in that time frame. And typically a few days after the baby comes out, your body realizes, oh, I'm okay, and I'm not pregnant anymore. I don't need all this extra fluid in my blood vessels. And it dumps it into the extra spaces in your body and
like your ankles.
Pulls it all into your feet. So by day 6, I didn't have a single pair of shoes I could get my feet in. I couldn't leave the house
because
I could not get my feet into a single pair of shoes.
Do you vaginally bleed, like for after you deliver vaginally, you know, you're like in a diaper for anywhere from 1 week, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, you know, it's like having just like a heavy period for like a while as your uterus is shedding all that stuff in there. Mm-hmm. Is it similar with C-section?
Often the bleeding is a little bit less because we do clean the uterus out a little bit.
Oh, no way.
At the time we remove the placenta and we clean everything out. So often the bleeding is less with the C-section than with the natural delivery. But normal bleeding is anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 months.
Did you guys have that?
I had some. Like I didn't have
a light period.
It was like a period. I just wore like a pad for about 2 weeks.
And did you have the same?
Mine was pretty heavy actually. And I wasn't expecting that. I think I thought it would be like a period. And I was like, oh, wow, I am wearing cloth diapers right now.
You know? Oh, yeah, yeah, guys, the cloth diapers
that,
is
mesh
real.
Mesh underwear that they make.
Oh, the mesh panties are my favorite.
They are. The mesh panties should be sold like at the Gap. Thanks so much. They're so comfortable. Here's another thing, and this might be too personal and you totally don't have to answer, but there's that, I find that men or even women like make jokes about, oh, I had a C-section, so my vagina is still that of like a 16-year-old. Ew, that just got really weird. But you get what I'm saying. Like, is that true? Like, do you guys find post-surgery and C-section that, like, your vaginas are, like, totally like how they were before you got pregnant? Or is everything kind of changed anyway because you were pregnant?
I mean, my vagina's tight, okay. I mean,
of course it's tight, but I mean, like, does it feel the same?
I mean, it feels the same to me.
Yeah.
Nothing changed at
all. Oh, see, that's great.
And
mine
I don't do that
does
pee.
Not, guys. Not like I'm not. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just like when you have intercourse for the first time, and hopefully maybe someday we will do an episode about this, but when you have intercourse after you've had vaginal birth, I mean, it's intense. Like
it's different.
It's a different situation. And I have heard it goes back to feeling great. So I was curious about that for C-section people. What are some important steps, Dr. Kumetz, that patients can take to help with their recovery?
Also, great question. I think starting out by having reasonable expectations for what it's going to be like, understanding that you are going to be in pain and you are going to need help doing things, understanding that it is major abdominal surgery and that does require recovery time. Getting up and walking right away is huge. One of the best things you can do is to get up and, you know, even if it hurts, you know, getting out of bed and walking the halls, it's going to mobilize that fluid faster. It's going to wake your bowels up. You know, pregnant women tend to be constipated, and that doesn't just resolve immediately upon delivery. And if you're taking pain medicine, particularly narcotic pain medicine, which can be constipating, that is also, you know, straining, having a bowel movement is kind of unpleasant when you have, you know,
literally
an incision
on
your tummy.
The most scared I was too with the vaginal birth also was taking like that first poop. You're like, I'm so scared right now. right now. Like, it was so scary. Mm-hmm. Yes. Did you guys feel that way as well?
I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't easy. Like, it was definitely scary, I think. But I went to the bathroom, I think, that day. Like, it was weird, but it was very big.
Nice.
It was
That's
gross.
Good, I
it
feel
was,
like.
Yeah, it was. I took a picture of it.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I'm sure that was great because I feel like I was so scared just because when you've pushed a baby out and then you have to push
a poop
that
out, makes
you're
sense.
Like, I'm so scared that I'm going to just blow everything out again. Like,
right. And I remember being scared I was going to hurt my stitches. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You won't hurt your stitches.
Right.
I can assure you that no one has ever popped stitches from straining
pooping?
To have a bowel movement.
Oh, good.
It will hurt, but you won't pop the stitches.
Okay.
So I know, Angelique, you're still breastfeeding and Emily breastfed for after her delivery. Did you guys find that breastfeeding was more difficult because of having a C-section? Did you find it?
I didn't.
Like, do they teach you a certain way to hold the baby after you've had a C-section? Because I imagine with the scar, it's nowhere near.
Because it wasn't really near it. The babies are so little, they're up here. And like your scar's way down here. I mean, you still got like a little tummy when you're learning. But no, I didn't find it hard. No.
No.
And you either, Emily?
Yeah, we latched
really
quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And away you went.
Yeah.
C-sections really shouldn't impact breast milk production. That's a myth that's out there that get very concerned that they're not going to be able to breastfeed or that they're not going to make milk right away because they didn't labor. That's not true.
My milk came in. I remember it being like, oh, like that next day, like it was, right? Isn't it supposed to?
Yeah. Within the first 3-4 days, full milk should come in, and that's regardless of mode of delivery.
How does your body just knows like that the baby's out, whichever way it got out, it's time for milk to come in?
Placenta's out and baby's latching, and that's the stimulation for your brain to make the oxytocin hormone to trigger the milk production.
It's amazing.
How
amazing.
Do all of
it
you,
is amazing.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
I mean, how is this all even happening? I don't understand. How do you women all feel about your C-section scar? Like, has anyone braved? You know, I mean, look, I'm not braving. I mean, I gave up bikinis like 10 years ago. But like, you know, like, how do you feel about having an incision scar there? And, you know, when you are looking at yourself in the mirror or when you go out in public in those crop tops. No one's doing that, right?
No one's doing that.
More power to you if you are.
Not fashionable anymore.
it's actually really low. And I didn't realize that. I got the scar cream that you can put on it and I haven't used it because you don't see it.
Because it's right above the pubic bone.
Yeah.
Right?
It's often, you know, either right above or right at the top of the pubic hairline.
Got it.
So really low.
That was surprising to me too, because you can't see it in any underwear.
It's below your underwear.
Yeah.
It's below your underwear.
I don't care about the scar at all. I'm like kind of proud of it because to me it's like my warrior. I like love it. And it's small. What I'm more concerned about is like the pooch. I'm like, when does the pooch go down? Like that to me is like.
Well, because you've cut through stomach muscle, correct? So that's
going to. Actually, we don't cut through stomach muscle.
See, I'm not a doctor.
That's okay. There's a separation in the abdominal muscles, and we separate the large abdominal muscles vertically. So the stitches that are inside are actually in several different directions in different layers. The goal being to try to keep normal anatomy to the extent possible. So we don't cut through the muscles. But surgical technique for repairing, some doctors will put the muscles back together. I personally do. I think it ends up looking better than if they're not put together. But the recovery is a little bit harder for the first week when they are put together because there are now stitches through the muscle. And anytime you use your muscles, like to get into and out of bed or in and out of a chair, up and down stairs, it's going to pull on those stitches and that hurts.
Right.
Oof.
And I remember about breastfeeding. Like, I chose to keep my baby in her own crib, in her own room from day one because it was part of the sleep training method that I did. Mm-hmm. And the hardest part was those stitches, like getting up every 3 hours to go breastfeed her because I didn't want the baby coming into my room.
Yeah.
And that was hard. Like, that was probably the hardest part. Yeah, it was painful. Those stitches, like you could really feel that. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Abdominal binders help a lot.
Yeah.
That's a good tip, guys. Good
tend
tip.
To be underused.
Are those the like binding, like those? I wore them too. Like
Belly Bandit makes a great one. A lot of hospitals will offer them. It's basically a giant ACE bandage that is just kind of holding all your insides.
It's like Spanx around your thighs, but they make ones that Velcro around your stomach. And I actually found it really helped too because I didn't have a C-section scar, but I what I felt inside was all this space and my organs had moved out of the way for where the baby was growing, and then all of a sudden the baby's gone. And so when you would sleep on your side, I could literally feel all my like insides go to one side and then shift to the other side when I'd roll in the middle of the night, which was very uncomfortable and kind of weird feeling. And so if I wore the binding thing, it just felt like everything was far more supported,
right?
And not like wiggling around so much in there. Before we get to the end here, I want to ask three, you know, let's just go through this a little bit. Can you guys talk a little bit about the stigma surrounding C-sections and talk about, I think we got into this a little bit, which helped Angelique mentally prepare for changing her, the way she was thinking about giving birth this way, but how a C-section, people don't consider it actually like giving birth. Like what is that? What I find bothers me is that when people say, oh, you gave birth the old fashioned way, I'm like, what the hell is that? Do you know what I mean? Or because you got to push or something, that makes one labor better than the other.
Right. There's definitely a stigma, I felt.
Yes. Tell me, did you feel like, judged? That's another judged. Part of this. You did
for
feel
sure.
judged?
And I remember being like, yeah, I'm having like talking about as I'm getting closer to my due date. Speaking about like, oh, I'm going in at 5 a.m. or whatever on this date, and people being like, oh, like that there was a tone that people would receive that information and like almost with like pity, like don't pity, like it's fine, like it's fine. And I think there's stigma about that, it's like a failure of some kind,
sure,
as a woman or a pregnant person having a baby. And I was very surprised at that. I didn't
did
expect
you and
that.
Emily, who electively had a
right.
C-section.
And I was like, no, I'm actually really looking forward to that. No, but I think there's so much competitiveness as women and as parents and, you know, as moms that I didn't want to subscribe to any of that. Like, oh, well, my birth is more valid than yours. And, you know, right. when you raise a kid, it's about your family unit and what works both like best for you as a family. And it's not about what someone that you went to high school with thinks about and posted on Facebook. You know, it's like,
did you find yourself when people would ask you and you'd say, no, I chose to do this and I'm really excited. Did you find yourself really like digging in and like making a stand when you would tell
sort
that to
of,
people?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely did because it was my choice and I'm happy and proud. I mean, I'm talking about it on a podcast, you know, like it was what was right for us. And that's what, as moms, we have to do for our families. And
so true.
Yeah, I would like defend it. And then once you kind of explain like, no, I have to for medical reasons, otherwise baby and myself are in danger. Like, oh, okay, I get like.
But it's also crazy, it's like that, crazy you that felt people, like you had to defend the method in which your child was coming
I also think
out.
LA is the worst just in general as far as what you're saying, the competition of how you have your baby and do you use anesthesia and like, are you breastfeeding? The breastfeeding too. It's like everyone's judging everything all the time. If you have to go back to work, if you don't go back to work.
I found myself being really sensitive to the vocabulary I used, which was I had to get really comfortable with saying the word vaginally because I've had a lot of really great friends, close friends, give birth through C-section, and I didn't want to ever say like mine was natural versus yours. That's my own personal preference, like whatever, but I would just say, oh, I had my baby vaginally, which like try saying that word a lot like in front of dudes. Why do they get so weird? I'm like, guys, vagina, 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 get over it.
I don't get the stigma either. You know, when you get to decide what happens to your body, whether it's an elective C-section or in the situation where it's not elective and there's a medical reason to do it, you're making the choice that's the best thing for you and your baby. And birth means a child has come out of you. Regardless of the way that child came out of you, when a child comes out of you, you have given birth.
Yep.
And I truly don't understand the reason that there's a stigma associated with that.
They're both super scary and super exciting at the same time.
Right.
Really quick and last question. Is there anything that comes to mind that you would, that you wish someone had told you before you had a C-section? Like a little piece of advice, a little anything.
Oh, man.
I know, these are always the worst. Because I can't ever think of anything either. I think
I would say like, just know that you're going to still look pregnant and like that you're close. Like, what are you going to wear? Like, that was a really big thing for me. Like, I didn't know how to dress. I remember going to my first table read and I was like, I have no clothes that fit me and I didn't want to wear my pregnancy clothes because they're tight.
Oh, I wore my pregnancy clothes for a good 9 months after my daughter was born because they were so much were more comfortable than anything else I owned.
But a lot of the pregnancy clothes hug your bump. And then once you have the baby, you don't want your bump out there because then there's nothing in there. You know, I found that really confusing.
Maternity wear is, I wish someone had said that, still subject to, for me, a lot of... It's not good.
It's not great.
I'm just going to say
it's not
that.
Great.
It's not great. Yeah. But you would suggest getting some nice new clothes that made you feel better in a bigger size that you could fit into.
Exactly. Like, I wish I had known.
Like,
yes.
I just had a baby and I look good and I like how I look in this.
Yeah. Like, go to Gap or whatever, Old Navy, and just buy like a couple of dresses or muumuus that are just a couple size bigger than what you normally wear and wear that for so that you feel pretty.
I would get that too, because I would have people come over and like not have anything, and I didn't fit back into my old clothes for sure, but I definitely did feel a little bit weird about my maternity clothes as well. Emily, anything you would say?
No, I mean,
play Beyonce.
I think the way, my 24-year-old brother made a great playlist called Baby Time, and it was, you know, it was wonderful. But I think the only thing that was incredibly shocking to me is I lost the ability to know that I had to pee for like a few months. And I don't know if that's common. I just, like, I would have to look at the clock and be like, oh, I should go to the bathroom, because I could go all day and be like, what's going on here? And that was the biggest surprise, I think, in
what
all
of that?
It to me.
It's not uncommon for the bladder to get a little stunned after a C-section. We actually have to move the bladder off of the uterus because it's typically attached to the lower part of the uterus, typically where we're making the incision to get the baby out. So we move the bladder off of the uterus, and that can affect some of the nerves to the bladder, and it's not uncommon to feel some difficulty controlling your bladder, you know, anywhere from a day or two to a few months afterwards.
Oh, that's good to know. See, like, here's all the stuff, guys, nobody tells you, but nobody we will on Katie's Crib. And Dr. Kumetz, any advice or something you wish someone had told you before you yourself had a C-section?
Well, I'd actually like to answer a slightly different question.
Please.
I would say approach your pregnancy by trusting your doctor.
Said.
As I mentioned at the beginning, you know, babies and uteruses just often don't read the birth plan. They are just not on board with what your goals are. And, you know, I try to liken birth and birth plans when patients come to me with their 7-page single line typed birth preferences, which I think is a better term than birth plan. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to explain to them, you know, think about your delivery as you have chartered a really expensive private flight. There's a lot of choices that you can make on that trip. You can decide if you want to sit in the window seat or you want to sit in the aisle seat. You can decide if you want to fly around the mountains or you want to fly over the lake. You can decide if you want to have chicken or fish for lunch. And I might make some suggestions in there, like I think the chicken is better than the fish, but ultimately those choices are yours. But if the plane's going down, let me take care of you.
Yeah.
And you have to trust that your doctor can fly the plane and make sure that you have a relationship with the person who's taking care of you, that if they're saying to you, look, this is an emergency and we really have to go ahead and do this, or, you know, they're altering your plan in some way, there's usually a reason, and hopefully there will be enough time to explain that reason to you. Mm-hmm. But if there isn't, trust them that this is really in your best interest.
Amazing.
That's great.
You guys, I can't thank you all enough for doing this fancy, fancy version of Katie's Crib in this awesome recording booth. And thank you guys for all of your advice and words of wisdom and sharing your experiences with your C-section. And thank you guys all listening to this episode of Katie's Crib.
You never know until you try. You come with me if you need a ride.